Tonight's passage, I would venture a guess, I haven't studied it to confirm this, but in these five verses, we probably have the highest concentration of salvation doctrines in a small passage of anywhere else in the Bible. In these five verses, we have seven of the 10 primary doctrines of salvation in these five verses, which is quite amazing. So our title is By Faith, which, of course, is how we're saved. And we'll start there in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3, and then go down through verse 25. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So by faith, let's pray. Dear Lord, we're grateful to be here and assemble on a midweek service, and pray You'd use the word in our hearts now and guide us and bless the service, that it be honoring to You. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So as I mentioned, seven of the primary doctrines of salvation found just in these five verses. It's quite amazing. And the first that we see there in verse 22 is the doctrine of imputation. Notice it says the righteousness of God, which is by faith. God, when we are saved, when we trust the Lord by faith, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. It means He gives it to us. He applies it to our account. If you look over in chapter 4, verse 11, the word impute is here. It says, "And He received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which He had yet being uncircumcised, that He might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." So there's that word imputed, where God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts it on our account. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God declares us righteous. He placed the righteousness of Jesus Christ onto our account. And that is the doctrine of imputation. Now, the next doctrine we see in verse 22 is the doctrine of faith. It says, "Which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." He's shown us here that belief and faith are the same thing. That when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placing our faith in Him. Now, carrying on in the rest of the chapter, we see it heaps. Look at verse 26. It says, "To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Verse 27. "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." And then verse 28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Verse 30. "Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we make the void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." So faith. Faith is when we trust Jesus Christ, when we believe on Jesus Christ, we are placing our faith in Him. Jesus said in John 3:15, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." When we believe on Jesus Christ, John 6:47, Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." The disciples told the Philippian jailer, Acts 16:21, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul says in Galatians 3:26, "Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So we are adopted into God's family. We become His children by faith when we place our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. "For by grace are you saved." Ephesians 2:8, what's the next two words? "For by grace are you saved through faith." We're saved through faith. So that's the second doctrine we see that's in this passage, is the doctrine of faith, that we place our faith in Christ for salvation. Then he reminds us in verse 23, all have sinned to come short, which we looked at in verses 10 through 12, that we're all sinners. We all fall short of perfection. We all fall short of holiness, which is why we need salvation. And then the third doctrine, verse 24, being justified freely. So justification and imputation are two different things. Imputation, again, is where God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and imputes it to our account. Justification is where God goes one step further and actually now declares us completely sinless based on the merits of Jesus Christ. That's called justification. We are declared just. The word just means perfect or sinless. God does this for us when we trust Christ. He justifies us. Look down at verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time is righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. That's God. He's the justifier of those who believe. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Verse 30, it's one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. Romans 4, 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So God justifies us. Again, it's based on the merits of Christ. All of these are. But he imputes righteousness. We're saved when we place our faith in Christ, and then we are justified. Notice it says there in verse 24 of Romans 3, freely. It's a gift. Salvation's a gift. Amen. He freely gives it to us. We don't have to earn it or pay for it. It is a gift. So the fourth doctrine of salvation found in this passage is the doctrine of grace. Notice it says, being justified freely by his grace. People try to come up with definitions for grace. It's a tough word because it's so all-encompassing. And it talks so much about the intrinsic love and mercy and long-suffering of our God. But as we mentioned, Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved, through faith and that not of yourselves. We cannot be saved by works if we're saved by grace. And we cannot be saved by grace if we're saved by works. Paul says that in Romans 11, 6. He said in Galatians 2, 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. People who try to earn salvation are frustrating the grace of God, because it's the grace of God by which salvation's available. And the Bible says he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. So we see imputation, faith, justification, grace, and then the next one, verse 24, through the redemption. So there's the fifth doctrine of salvation in this passage, the doctrine of redemption. To redeem means to buy back. And that's exactly what God did through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1, 7. God bought us back from the devil, from sin, with the greatest price ever given, and that is the purchase price of the blood of the perfect Son of God. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed or bought back through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you're bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the beautiful doctrine of redemption, illustrated in the book of Ruth beautifully. If you ever read the book of Ruth about the kinsman redeemer, it's all there to teach us a lesson about the greatest kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus Christ. So God imputes righteousness to us. We are saved when we trust Christ by faith. He justifies us based on the merits of Jesus Christ. We're saved by His grace, and we are redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only five. There's still two to go. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now that word propitiation shows up in the New Testament just a couple of times. It would be the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word atonement. Or it could be translated, if you wanted, reconciliation, if it helps. Propitiation is a beautiful word. And the Bible says He is the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2:2, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ reconciles us. So man is reconciled and God is satisfied. So God doesn't have to be reconciled because God's holy and perfect. Man has to be reconciled. God has to be satisfied. And that's what propitiation is talking about. Is that we are reconciled back to God. God is satisfied with the payment, which is the blood of Jesus, the death and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to chapter 5, verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So there's that word reconciliation, which is tied up in propitiation, as is atonement. So God is satisfied with the payment. If you read Isaiah 53, it talks about how He's satisfied with the suffering and with the death of Jesus Christ as payment for our sins. So in this passage, we find imputation, faith, justification, grace, redemption, propitiation, and the last one, verse 25, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. That means essentially forgiveness or passing over. God does this again based on, as it says there, His forbearance. He does it because of His nature, not because we deserve it. He remits, clears the debt for our sin. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24 quickly, if you would, verse 47. Where when Jesus was giving the Great Commission to the disciples, He used this word, remission. Luke 24, look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this is Jesus summarizing the gospel, if you will, and He says repentance and remission, that needs to be preached. That man needs to repent, and then God will remit our sins. And we also read in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no, anybody know the next word? Remission. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So all of these doctrines, of course, are based on the nature of God and on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me through His death and His suffering and His resurrection. These seven doctrines of salvation, God does all of this for us. All we have to do is place our faith in Christ. We have to repent, trust Christ. He imputes righteousness to our account. He justifies us through the merits of Christ. He saves us by His grace. He redeems us from sin and from the devil. He propitiates us. In other words, He's satisfied with the payment. And He remits or clears the debt of our sin, the remission of sins, again, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is all when we trust Jesus Christ. Remember, we saw earlier, verse 26, the word believe. Verse 27, the word faith. Verse 28, the word faith. 30, faith. 31, faith. All of this happens when we place our faith in Christ. So by faith, the day we trust Christ, you've heard me say this many times, actually the moment that we trust Christ, so much happens at that moment that we have to now spend the rest of our Christian lives understanding what God did at that moment. It's quite amazing. And the three primary doctrines we didn't discuss were regeneration or the new birth, substitution, and adoption. But by faith, God does all of these things for us. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your